Mornings. 10 Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers, the show where you can find help and hope. With me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because you know I got plenty of that. And we have on the boards today my friend Bobby.
Hello, hello. Happy Saturday once more.
Happy Saturday. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Just counting down the hot Saturdays until we get to fall.
Yeah, that's for sure. So glad you're here today. And we have on the line, not in person, unfortunately, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny.
How are you today?
I'm doing really well.
Really good. You know, I have a very full heart this week. My husband, Tom, you know, Tom started with Seasons Hospice this week.
Yeah.
And they've been absolutely fabulous. He also gave me a golden diamond bracelet that says, I love you. Yeah, so that was lovely, and we found out that Skylar, my granddaughter, is moving to Germany on Thursday.
Not happy.
No, well, it's happy for her.
Happy
for her husband.
Yeah, really.
But actually, she's got Seasons Hospice is coming in on Tuesday, and they're going to make a bust of her hand and her grandpa's hand holding hands. So that's,
oh, how lovely.
Yeah, that's just absolutely fabulous. And this morning, I was so happy. My grandson, a couple of his friends came by the house. I promised I would say hi, boys, because they're out paintballing. And that makes me just feel so fun. You know, people are still living and boys are still doing stuff, and that's all good.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing that. But I got to tell you, so I get a phone message this morning, somebody congratulating me on our nomination, Lynn.
For?
So, Creative Loafing Magazine has the 2020 Best of the Bay, and we've been nominated for the Best Internet Talk Show.
Oh,
I was like, woohoo!
Good job.
Who knows? And
wow.
I also found out this week that one of my winning photos from the Seminole photo contest is on display at the Seminole Library. These things happen. Nobody tells you about it.
We should really go see that.
Yeah, we should.
We've seen the pictures because we saw when you won.
Yeah,
pictures you won.
But I didn't even know it was going to be there. It was kind of cool.
Well, I knew they were going to show one each week, but they never said
each month,
when.
Yeah. Yeah, who
yeah.
knows? So it's all good. And
yes.
We have our newest listeners this week, Angela from Wesley Chapel, Tina from Tampa, and Loretta from Maryland.
Well, welcome, lady.
So there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners.
Yeah, and I will be back probably the end of September.
Yay! I can't wait.
I can't wait. It's a good thing it's not today, though, because I haven't had a bath yet, and oh, boy, you wouldn't want me in the studio.
No, that's not good.
I'm just going to do that because I'm going out today. I'm going to have a pina colada and chicken wings.
With who?
With you.
Yes, yeah, with me. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
All right, girlfriend.
Looking forward to it. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. So today we have on the show attorney Joe Pippin. Joseph Pippin, hello.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. It's
yes.
A little bit after 12. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Great to be here.
So we met a couple of months ago. We
probably met a long time ago, so we couldn't remember
somewhere
when, though.
Here
somewhere
here or there,
in the past.
Around the square or whatever. Well,
yeah.
You know, you've had your radio show for, what, 35, 36
yeah,
years
Yeah, 36
now?
Years.
I'm pretty proud of 3.5 years.
Yeah,
so.
It's the longest running show with one host, same format, continued every week. And every week I've been on multiple stations. Right now we're about 15 stations around Florida. And I was nationally syndicated for 2 years.
It's so cool. So I was looking at some of your stuff. So tell our listeners how that started, because I love that.
Well, okay, I'm going to give a really short version of how it started. So, I was worked for Western Electric, and I was part of a speakers bureau, an elite speakers bureau, so I love to give talks. When I came to Florida in 1980 and started my law practice in 1981, I had ran for the Florida State House in 82. I was an open seat with seven people running, and I didn't win that. I missed a first cut by like 100 votes of being continuing on to try to get that seat. But during the way, I met the editor of the Seminole Beacon. Don McIntosh was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so we became kind of friends. And after the election and I was starting my law practice, I said, Don, why don't you let me write an article for the paper? And fortunately, back then, it didn't cost me anything. I was just starting my law practice. We'll call it Ask an Attorney.
Right.
And so I wrote a column called Ask an Attorney. And the first couple of weeks, I made up questions myself, you know, common questions I was being asked. And then but you could send in questions. So after a couple of weeks, I got all these questions. I got tons of questions people wanted to ask.
People love to ask an attorney.
Yeah. So then I started writing this column called Ask an Attorney. And after a year, I had like 50 columns, and I turned that into a little book. So then when I had my little book, my 50-page book, I went to the local radio station, WLPL. It's not in existence now, so I can mention it. And left a stack of books with my business cards and said, if you ever want to be interviewed, I'm available. I'll come in and answer legal questions. So on my first visit, the phones lit up like crazy. The general manager of the program happened to be there today. He was a new general manager coming in from Chicago, and he heard the show, and he says, you know, we had a show similar to this up in Chicago, and it was like our number one show, and today's show is just great. Would you be interested in having a show here at the station for free?
Yeah. Okay. But
back then it was free. Now it's not so free. So I said that would be great. So I started out with a 3-hour show on Sundays from 1 to 4, and the phones fill up. So it's not like
it
I
goes.
Have, yeah, I don't have to prepare, and I'm always talking to somebody.
Right.
So that's how I started. Exactly how I started, and then we're like the number one show in my time spot. And then I was doing Murphy in the Morning, which is a popular show. Back then, I was doing radio, television. My book kept expanding, and here I am. So
yeah. You know, when I first saw that, I kept being a guest on other people's shows,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, "You need your own show," and I'm like, "Heck yeah, I do!" And you never know what's going to happen.
That was the first time I'd ever been on radio.
Really?
Yeah, the first time. And then I was offered to do TV shows. So I was doing a monthly TV show on Channel 22, the local station. Uh-huh. So I don't know, it just kind of took off. So here I am.
Well, because you know, everybody has a question for an attorney, and especially if they can get an answer for free. That's a big deal for them.
Some people tease me and says, well, it's only worth what you paid for. And hey, free? Well, you know.
But it's funny, anytime I've been on panels, caregiver panels, when there's an attorney, everybody's asking them the questions.
Yeah.
But it's good, and it's so good that we have these different venues to be able to ask questions. So if anybody has any questions today, please call in at 727-441-3000. And we'll answer your question.
Well, let's limit it to caregivers, though.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be me talking about
bankruptcy.
Everything in the world, which people ask me, and some of them don't relate. So I really wanted to be here just to help your caregivers today.
Yeah, we're going to talk today about power of attorney.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important. And I think it's especially now during COVID. I think a lot of people have realized during COVID they don't have their papers in order.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things they need to do. So, first of all, for our listeners that don't know, explain to them what power of attorney is.
All right. Well, we'll start with that, but let's also start. There are several levels of power of attorneys. Like, I think the first level we should probably talk about is a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm a power of attorney for both of my parents who are in lockdown now. So there's a son or daughter relationship with a power of attorney. And then there's a caregiver relationship. Now, the spouse and the child are both caregivers as well, but it's just a different. I'd like to separate that into three categories because each one might have a slightly different answer.
Right.
All right. So a power of attorney. I always like to tell people the purpose of a power of attorney is so you sign a document giving someone the power to do anything you could do, so that you would never be declared incompetent. If I've got your power of attorney, especially a very broad power of attorney, and you can have a broad power of attorney, a limited power of attorney. But if I've got your power of attorney to do anything you could do, and you have a stroke or become incapacitated or get Alzheimer's or something happens to you and you no longer can function the way you are now,
right?
Then I have the power to do that for you with a legal document. So I just, if I need to do something for you, I present that document, I can act on your behalf. And that document should avoid you ever being declared incompetent because I can handle your finances. I can make healthcare decisions. I can deal with Social Security. I can deal with Medicaid if necessary. I can create a Medicaid plan for you with the power of attorney's done properly. I can do anything that you could do. So there's no reason you'd ever have to be a ward of the court and be declared incompetent.
Right.
So that's the purpose of a power attorney.
So you're still in control.
Well, you are
because you've made those choices.
Yeah, but you, if you gave me a power of attorney, you could still revoke that power of attorney at any time and take my power away, as long as you're competent.
Right.
But if you do it while you're competent and then you become incompetent, it's not revocable then by you because you don't know what you're doing at this point. However, if someone thought I was being unscrupulous with you acting in your behalf that benefited me, they could maybe take a step to have you do go through a guardianship proceeding so there'd be some supervision of your care through the court as right. opposed to me being your power of attorney.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a way to stop somebody from misusing. And people do use it for their own benefit sometimes.
Yeah, well, with everything, unfortunately. Yeah.
So, I mean, a spouse really, I never heard of a spouse misusing it because most of the time they own everything jointly or leave everything to one another.
All right, so let's leave this scenario. So I'm a widower. I have a child, and the child doesn't make the best decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Many times people will make that child the power of attorney just because it's their child.
Yeah. No, you would give it to Lynn.
Yeah. Well, Lynn is my power of attorney.
Oh, well, there you go.
And my health care
yeah,
surrogate.
So, no, you don't want to give it to an irresponsible, unwise, not financially astute,
you know,
or a moody person that has mood swings and can do unusual things. You definitely want to be careful who you pick your power of attorney to.
Yeah, yeah. But I think so many people just pick it because they think it's a family member. And
some people do a will and trust and name the oldest child as the personal representative or trustee. I mean, that's not your best choice a lot of times. It's the one that's most financially responsible, astute, and busy.
Right.
Because you don't want to give it to a not busy person because they're not going to be busy working on your estate.
Exactly.
Right? That's going to carry over. So it's careful consideration of who you actually give the power of attorney to.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure we're talking to a lot of people who have a question about a power of attorney, so how can they call us? Because I'd love to talk to people
here.
Just
call in at 727-441-3000.
Let's make Bobby work for his money today, and we answer that phone.
Bobby likes to do that when the phone rings.
I know, I just waited. I'd love to see those lights.
There you go. All right,
Now, is a power of attorney the same in every state?
No, every state has a different statute on power of attorneys, so it's slightly different what you can do. In Florida, we used to have what's called a springing power of attorney.
And what is that?
That would be a power of attorney where you had to prove the person was incapacitated, then the power of attorney would spring into effect with proof. They did away with that statute. I was reviewing a client papers from another state just this week, and they had a springing power of attorney in their group of papers, and they wanted to kind of duplicate what they had done from Georgia, I think it was. So I said, I can't do a springing power of attorney. I can do a power of attorney, but it's not going to be one that springs into effect if they prove you're incapacitated. And I say, by the way, that never was really a good idea because it takes time to prove you're incapacitated with doctor's letters. So you need help usually quickly.
Right.
And it could take days to prove you're incapacitated, get the proper paperwork before anybody would even accept the power of attorney.
And what's going on now, maybe more than days.
So then the question is, well, you know, I'm giving it to my son who's not so responsible, and so I don't want him to have the power now while I'm competent, but I want to give him the power of attorney. And since it can't be springing into effect upon my incapacity, what do you do? So you would give your power of attorney to your son, maybe, but you probably wouldn't. But the way to control it is to give it to Lynn, who's only going to release it to the power of attorney if he can prove you're incapacitated.
Okay.
So I can't put it in the document. You can still control the document. You can still control the document. Now, some people would do a power of attorney to son and Lynn. We keep talking about Lynn. I was going to say hi to Lynn, but you could let her get off the air before I could say hi to her.
She's listening.
All right. So you could give your power of attorney to your son and Lynn, so they both have to sign.
Right.
So your Lynn has to kind of agree to what your son wants to do. That's one way to do it. You could give your power of attorney to your son or Lynn, where either one could act on your behalf. So that depends on the responsibility of each person and how much you trust them independently to work on your behalf.
So if someone moves here from Georgia or New York or whatever, they should have their papers reviewed.
Right.
All their papers.
Yeah, now in this case, I amended the trust. I didn't have to redo the trust in its entirety. I can just do a simple amendment, which is a lot less expensive.
Right.
Power of attorney should be updated every 3 or 4 years anyway, because a lot of banks and medical people don't accept them the older they get. They have their own rules about it, when they accept them and when they don't, and how old they are.
And sometimes someone you may have chosen as a power of attorney is not really capable a couple of years later to be your power of attorney.
Right.
And you might not just think about that.
Or your relationship might change.
Right. Right.
You know, Lynn could get married and move to Hawaii, so she's no longer an effective power of attorney.
Exactly.
She might want to like that whole Hawaii station that Lola has here.
Yeah.
Move down there and enjoy
that. That's
enjoy
on her bucket list, Hawaii, so shh.
Gosh, I know everything about you and Lynn.
I don't know.
I'm just guessing, right?
We are an open book, though.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Right, Bobby?
Oh, yes. You know, I told her I want to go out to that Hawaii station, but, you know.
Well, there you go. They probably need somebody to give your expertise out there.
Yeah.
Vouch for me.
We will.
So, a power of attorney, let's talk about a power of attorney to a spouse.
Yeah.
Okay. So every spouse should really have a power of attorney, I think. And I mean, if you're married and you're having a good relationship with your spouse and everything's on good terms and everything, that person, you own most everything jointly, you definitely want to give your spouse, I think, a power of attorney. And one thing a power of attorney can do, my power of attorney has like 106 different powers listed in it. It's like a 14-page document, so everything you probably think of. And there's a special section in the power of attorney, it's called special transactions. And they have to be initialed by the person that's signing the power of attorney if you want to grant those powers. So there are three powers I get every couple to initial. And those powers deal with the ability to move assets around to qualify for Medicaid.
Okay.
So,
most important.
Yeah. So this is a way to protect the family assets, to protect, to preserve those for the community spouse. You have a nursing home spouse, a community spouse. So the community spouse has certain protections anyway. The homestead's protected. $128,000 or in that range is also protected. The car's protected.
See, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. And so, suppose they have more than that. Well, if they have more than that, the power of attorney gives them the power to create documents that also create exempt category of assets, like a personal service contract. So it's very important to have this power of attorney to protect all the assets for the community spouse.
Right.
And by doing that, you also make the nursing home spouse more quickly available to get Medicaid benefits. So you can do both things.
Yeah.
Which is very, very good. And if you don't have that power of attorney, then you're not going to have those powers.
Right. I think Bobby's got someone on the line.
All right. So, and the power of attorney that I do combines the financial powers and government powers, so to speak, along with the medical powers. Now, if a person wants to have somebody different from the medical powers, we just do a different healthcare surrogate document.
Okay, let's take our call.
All right, very good.
All right, we got Gloria from the Villages.
Hi, Gloria. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. I go to your Zoom group sometimes with the caregivers. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, thank you.
With my mom, yeah, she's in an assisted living facility.
So what is your question for Joe today?
Okay, Joe mentioned that with a power of attorney, that gives you access to Social Security information.
Yeah, you can access.
I know that is incorrect. I have to have my mom sign a form every year, consent to release of information. It's only good for a year. The problem with that, of course, is now she has Alzheimer's.
Well, do you have her power of attorney?
I do.
Is there a clause in your power of attorney dealing with Social Security benefits or dealing with the Social Security agency itself?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I have to pull it out and look.
Yeah. Now, sometimes people do get a special power of attorney form from the Social Security. Mm-hmm. And the same thing applies to the Division of Motor Vehicles. Sometimes they want you to sign their own documents, and they make it harder for you if you don't. But the power of attorney document that you already have, and now you can't get another one because your mother has Alzheimer's and she can't sign a legal document probably, look through one of those paragraphs and see if it deals with a Social Security. Do you have the power to deal with Social Security for her benefit?
Is that on most?
It should be.
Okay.
But I have heard of people.
It's interesting. When I had called Social Security, now this was in 2018, when I first needed to help her with her benefit, mm-hmm. I was told they don't take any power of attorney, that my mom has to sign this consent for release of information every year with the Social Security Admin.
Well, they say one thing, and sometimes you can present a legal document that forces them to do something else. But, you know, Social Security sometimes is difficult to deal with.
Okay.
Hey, so, so you have your own attorney there in the villages that you deal with? I mean, I don't want to solicit you, but we do have an office. We do have an office in Fruitland Park is one of our offices.
Oh, okay. No, I don't have an attorney, actually, if you want. I mean, we haven't really needed one.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm not trying to solicit you, but we do.
No,
just to let you know, we do have an office. We have around 20 offices around Florida. We have one in Claremont, Leesburg, in the villages, and the Fruitland Park is the one in the villages.
Okay, can you tell me the name of your agency? I know your name is Joe.
Yeah, why don't you call our 800 number?
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-800-226-3529. Mm-hmm. And then you would ask to tell him you want Patrick Smith in the office at Fruitland Park. He would be the attorney.
Okay. Great.
All right. Thanks
so much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
And right now it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you,
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So caregivers, when someone wants to help you, say thank you very much. One of my caregivers contacted me this week, and she told me she downloaded the caregiver affirmation off my website, and she made copies of it, and she mailed it to everyone in her family. And that was her way of letting her family know that she was a little overboard here and that she needed some help. And she said, like, three different family members called her back and said, what can we do? She said one person just offered to send her some money so she could pay for some respite care, and that was huge for her. So caregivers, if you're having a tough situation, let people know. Because if you don't and you keep saying no to them every time they ask to help you, they feel like they're getting in your space, and then they don't come, and then you're home crying by yourself that you have no one to help you. They want to help you. That's why they're asking you. So, Joe, let's talk a little bit also about healthcare surrogates and living wills.
All right. Do you want to talk about healthcare?
I want to talk about what you think my caregivers need to hear.
Well, for caregivers, we talked about power of attorney for a spouse, but
right.
What about a power of attorney for
a
paid caregiver?
Okay.
So the question is, should they ever accept a power of attorney? I mean, that's a big question.
It's a big responsibility.
It's a big question, too, actually. So basically, I would suggest to all of your caregivers that are paid for their services, that are not family members, although family members can be paid, too.
Right.
But a caregiver that's not a family member should also always have an employment contract. And their duty should be outlined in pretty much detail of what's expected of them. And if they are to provide power of attorney services, I think those should be kind of outlined in the employment agreement as to what they are and what's expected of the caregiver.
Well, and I think it's so important, too, to do this early.
Right.
Don't do this when you're under duress. Don't do this where you're, you know, we want to think about these things while we're still together and when mm-hmm. we can make those decisions. And I see that happen a lot.
Yeah, and so now, should a good caregiver inquire to the family whether the patient has a will, has a power of attorney, has a health care surrogate, and who are the players involved in their helping this person?
Right.
And what are the responsibilities of each player? Really kind of, you need a playlist. You need
a team.
You need a team. And you need a playlist of what's expected of who. And a paid caregiver should not overstep their bounds. So
right.
If there's a healthcare decision that needs to be made, and the person, he or she, knows who the healthcare surrogate provider is, and we'll talk about that, healthcare surrogates, in a minute, that person should reach out to that person. Because the caregiver themselves might be gone beyond their scope of what's expected or their power.
Well, and there have been some horror stories of things that people have done.
Yeah, there was a recently appointed court of guardian that took a lot of money. Yeah, and that's guardianship. I mean, that's
court, even scarier.
Yeah, I know. That's a court-appointed person. But that person could have been a power of attorney and operating secretly without the court or anybody really knowing and just taking advantage of these people.
Yeah, she sure did.
She's in jail now.
Well,
I don't think. Yeah, I think so. I don't think she's out. We're talking about the same person.
She belongs.
Right. Exactly. I mean, taking advantage of old people, taking their money, and And then falsifying court documents. I mean, the person's probably in big, big trouble.
She was billing for like more hours a week than she could be awake.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, so, come on.
Now, there's a bad apple in every group of types of people. So 99, or maybe not 99, but, you know, 95% of all guardians and healthcare surrogates and power attorneys
do the right thing.
It's just a small group that get. There's a bad apple in every bunch, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Well,
basically.
That's why, too, you want to prepare ahead of time. You want to work with people you know who you're working with. You don't want to wait till the last minute, and mom's in the hospital, and you need to do something, and you don't know anybody, and you don't know anything.
Now, if there's any caregiver out there that sees somebody spending $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month in a nursing home, and they're spending down their assets... just so they can eventually get on Medicaid, but they have to spend down. That's false. We protect people with assets all the time, protect their assets, protect their legacy, protect their gift to their family by doing the personal service contract where money can be set aside that's not countable. The homestead's not a countable asset in qualifying for Medicaid. The personal service contract that you create because you have the power of attorney is not countable. There are certain assets that are not countable, so an experienced Medicaid attorney knows how to shift everything around so they qualify and protect the assets. So should a caregiver be involved in that? Well, maybe the caregiver should just mention, hey, you know, there might be, maybe you should see a Medicaid attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you know several, and I have one on my in my firm too, but maybe they should just maybe recommend you really, you know, you don't have to be spending $8,000-$10,000 a month.
Right.
And you can protect that asset and qualify for Medicaid. We do it in 60 days a lot of times, very, very quickly, and protect most of the assets.
And how much does this cost?
Usually, I would say, it could be $3,000. It could be, say, 3 to 8, just a range. It depends.
Okay.
We usually tell people for 1 month of what it would cost in a nursing home, we get somebody on Medicaid for the rest of their life, you know, basically.
Right.
And basically, the fee is based on how involved it is. You know, a person could have a whole bunch of different types of assets that have to be repositioned.
Right.
And that's a big job. And usually the power of attorney can do that to some degree under supervision of the attorney. But there's a lot of things that have to fall into place and then submit to the department. Everything you do, some people say, well, is that wrong to move assets around so they don't qualify, so you get government benefits when you have assets? And my answer to that is, my job is to tell you your choices. And I'm not going to make a judgment on you on what choices they make. This is what the statutes say. This is what you can do. And you can pay down all of your money and qualify for Medicaid. Or under the statutes, we can do certain things to protect your assets. And you can protect them and then use to qualify now. It's your choice.
You're not the judge.
I'm not going to tell you, you got to do this.
Right.
You do it. You make the choice.
Right.
So it's really up to the person. So, but there are ways to protect assets. I think a caregiver should be, fulfill their duties on the contract they have, on whatever's expected of them and they've agreed to and they've signed a contract. That's great. And if they see something where they could be beneficial to the person and the family and other areas, they should suggest it. That you need an attorney for this or that, or I think you might be able to do this, but you know I'm not an attorney, so I think you should talk to an attorney about this and just be helpful with
suggestions. Well, I think in one of the most important things you just said now, if you have a private caregiver, you need a contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need a contract.
Yeah.
Even God forbid they fall in your house.
Yeah.
And get hurt or something. People don't think about that. Oh, she's just my friend from the church. But she's just my friend from up the block. There's responsibilities you have with that too, which I don't think a lot of caregivers realize.
Yeah. And if you're a family member, your son or daughter are with a contract, which you can do, you got to be careful of that because if there's nothing in writing, that could be considered a gift. And then there's a 5-year look back period of disqualification for Medicaid from gifting.
Right.
Up to 5 years. So you want to be careful you're not making gifts that disqualify you. And really, you need most attorneys give you a free consult on most of this. And if you or in a nursing home, spending money like crazy every month on a nursing home, you might be able to protect that money. We had a client in Jacksonville, and I have 2 offices in Pinellas, 2 in Hillsboro, 2 in Pasco, 2 in Polk. Most of your listening audience.
Always in twos? Is that how you do it?
No, I have I have 1 office in Lakewood Ranch, that area, but in Sun City Center, where I go every week. But no matter where you are, you can plan for Medicaid. I mean, you can plan for Medicaid, and it can be done remotely. Today's world, a lot of things are done remotely because people don't want to come to your office.
Right.
Or they want to make sure you're socially distant compliant.
Or they're unable.
Yeah, or they're unable. We've been to many nursing homes where we're looking through the window, through the glass window, and I'm the notary, and I have witnesses with me, and people can still sign documents. We have people that want to stay in their car when they come to their office.
That's fine.
We come out, the witnesses are looking through the glass door out at them in the right in front of the office door. Most clients want to come into the office, so they're directed to the end of the 10-foot conference table.
Right.
I come at the other end, the witnesses stand outside the door. We can take care of whatever the person feels comfortable with, we can usually do.
Yeah, yeah, because everything is different now, that's for sure. And I think more so than ever now, you need to have your papers in order.
Yeah, healthcare surrogate, you wanted to talk about.
Yep.
So we put the healthcare surrogate language in the power of attorney document.
Okay.
But if they want somebody different handling the finances and different handling the Social Security, the healthcare surrogate, then we just create a separate document just for healthcare.
And you can have different, and that's another thing too to think about. You just don't want to pick your daughter as your healthcare surrogate or your sister, because I love my daughter and I love my sisters, but they would keep me plugged in for the rest of my life. Lynn's going to be like, done, Linda, okay. You know, she'll go by my wishes, mm-hmm. as tough as that is.
Well, the living will that you mentioned covers your wish on how you want to be.
Right.
So everybody, most of all my clients do a trust or a will or both. Most of them do both, what's called a pour over will living trust. They have a durable power of attorney / healthcare surrogate in one document, or they have a durable power of attorney one document, healthcare surrogate one document. But most everybody does a living will also.
Mm-hmm.
And a living will is a self-directive that says if you're terminal, vegetative, unconscious, end stage, you don't want to be artificially prolonged. And that's your choice. And there's nobody else's name in the document.
Right.
And if you get rolled into a hospital, they ask you, you know, if you can talk, they ask you if you have a living will. They want to mark the chart accordingly. And we have often gotten a call from a hospital saying, you know, your patient so-and-so, they tell me that they have a living will and you have a record of your office. Could you email it to me? Or scan it to me.
Right.
And so we do.
I have another question somebody asked me recently, because caregivers, I deal with all sorts of caregivers, disabled children, you know, mm-hmm. all sorts of. So if I have a child that's going to go off to college or go away somewhere, do I need to have some documents in order with them? So if something happens to them at school,
yeah,
I have, because I don't think people think about that. Oh, they're young kids. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, I had a client this week, a couple in their 60s with their, or maybe 50s, brought in their son who's 18, who's going off to Butler College is where he was going. And they brought him in to give them a power of attorney. So, I mean, that's a very good thing to do.
Yeah, because what if something happens?
Yeah, and the son initialed all the boxes. Sometimes we kind of selectively pick boxes for people. He's young. If he was in a major accident or something, he initialed them all. So his parents have power to do anything he could do.
Otherwise, his parents might not even be able to talk to the doctors, right?
Well,
they could
see
talk,
what happens.
But they wouldn't be able to get certain information? Is that what it is?
Well, if you don't have a power of attorney and you become incompetent, then you haven't really done planning, and you get declared incompetent and become a ward of the court. If you have a power of attorney, you can usually bypass that step.
So people think about that. That's really important. You know, I'm even thinking of my granddaughter moving to Germany.
Yeah, suppose she needs you to do something in the United States.
Right, right.
She needs a power of attorney. Why don't you give out the phone number one more time and see if we can get at least one more call.
727-441-3000. No problems. Just call in. We'll answer any questions you have. I want to talk to you guys, too, about the caregiver contest. So we have our caregiver contest that you just go to lindaburhams.com and you nominate a caregiver. It takes you like 5 minutes to do it. Every caregiver that gets entered into the contest wins something. And normally, every 3 months, we pick out a grand winner. And the grand winner usually gets some respite care, a massage, some different things that are really not COVID appropriate right now. So some of the prizes that we have in the next basket coming up is we have some home-delivered meals, some Publix gift cards, some other different kind of things that will help a caregiver now being at home. So please nominate them, because when a caregiver gets nominated, it makes their day. Somebody thought about me. Because usually we call up the caregiver and we ask, how's mom? How's dad? How's your, not how are you? And I remember one time a caregiver coming to the station with this, we had this big basket with all these gifts in it. And she was like, nobody's been this nice to me in 2 years. And then she wanted to know if she had to use every coupon in the first week, the massage and everything. I said, this is not here to stress you.
Yeah, so, caregiving can be a very thankless job.
Yeah.
Because you often can't satisfy all the needs of a depressed person or a sickly person who's not happy with their status in life and probably resent that they have to have anybody to begin with to help them. It's a very, very thankless job. I've seen that so many times. I spoke at a caregivers group over at Indian Rocks Baptist Church one night, just strictly caregivers who needed a place to go to socialize with other yep. caregivers. And
yeah,
tell,
I spoke
tell their,
at a support group there and a few other things.
Yeah, and tell their stories. Well, I mean, it's sad.
It is sad.
It's sad because they, a lot of them just feel totally unappreciated.
Well, you know, that's what's one of the wonderful things about the support groups.
Yeah.
You get together and we appreciate each other and we're grateful for each other and people know they have a place where they can vent, where they can mm-hmm. say something. I had a woman a while back. She lives somewhere up north and she was like so frustrated with her husband, and her husband had an artificial leg and she threw it down the basement stairs. Mm. She goes, what are you going to do now? She right. was so angry. Well, when you get to that point, you know that you need some help.
40 minutes later, she went to get it for him though.
But, 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes, okay.
Not even. I think it was just, it's tough for caregivers.
Well, I can relate to being a caregiver myself because I have a special needs brother who's since birth. It took a while for them to figure out what his needs were.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was the president of an insurance company, and my brother was on. My dad paid for private pay for him for a long, long time, trying to get him the best help he could. My dad retired, so then my brother, the private pay place my brother was staying, the owner of the place, and my dad became friends. He said, "Well, let me get your brother in a special place in Gainesville. It's called Takachali. It's a 200 or 300 acre piece of ground with cottages for 12 residents with 24/7 care."
Nice.
And so my brother's on Medicaid through my dad's efforts and through the owner of the place. So my dad's not able really to travel up. My dad and mom are both 96, been married 76 years. And,
God
but they're,
bless.
And they're in the lockdown, so I'm helping them.
Are they together?
Yeah. They're in lockdown, so I'm going grocery shopping for them every week. I go see my brother. I was seeing my brother every other week because I go to Jacksonville on a regular basis. So I'm a caregiver on two ends right now. My son has a wife that's, he gave me permission to talk about her a little bit. She's 50 years old and has early onset dementia. So that's changed his work schedule, his
changed
life.
Everything.
It changes everything. And I know I told you I'd give you his name because he can talk about how it changes the life of a younger person than you expect to have Alzheimer's. So, so I'm dealing with that on all types of, plus I deal with clients every day that have these issues
Oh, well, now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners again, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence.
At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
You know what that means? Get your paper and pencil. We have good things to tell you. I'll be doing a sneak peek this week of You, Me, and Dementia via Zoom. If you're interested, just send me a message through the website and I'll send you a link. Also, Tam Cummings, gerontologist, will be doing Thursday, August 20th, Guilty as Charged, Dementia Caregiver Guilt, and Thursday, August 27th, preparing to move your loved one during COVID. Same thing, send me your information, you know, email me through the site, and I'll give you the link. Field of Honor with my Seminole Kiwanis group. We'll have 440 flags this year. Waving High in Seminole for $35 each, you can honor a veteran. I'll tell you what a big deal it means to a veteran, and to drive by and see all those flags is just fabulous. So all the information will be on the website. But I believe we have a caller on the line right now.
We do. Not related to my boss, but we have Lola from Zephyr Hills.
Hi, Lola.
Hi.
How are you today?
Oh, pretty good.
How can we help you?
To sell some property in West Virginia, and I own it jointly with my sister, and I don't want to make that trip to West Virginia if it would be practical for me to, you know, give her the power of attorney to just sell it.
Well, you can give her, hi Lola, this is Joe Pippin. We do have an office in Zephyr Hills, by the way. But you can give her a power of attorney to do that, or most real estate transactions today can be done through the mail. So the title company can forward you papers to send you papers to sign and send back and do the closing just through the mail or even electronically sometimes.
Oh, okay.
So do you have a real estate agent, a title? A real estate agent can coordinate with a title company who can just arrange a closing either online through electronic signing or through the mail.
Oh, okay. Yes, she has a real estate person there in West Virginia.
They can coordinate that. You probably don't even have to sign a power of attorney. You can just do it through the mail.
Okay. Thank you very much for
all right.
the information.
All right. Thanks,
Lola. Thanks for tuning in.
And I thank you.
So, Joe, what's the last thing you think my caregivers really need to hear today?
Well, there are two levels of, I guess, conversations with a caregiver. First of all, you're taking care of other people, or you're taking care of yourself on your own estate plan. And a lot of people put this off. You know, people say, well, why do people put this off? Well, some people don't like dealing with dying.
Right.
Some people don't
even
like...
Even though we're all doing
right,
it every
right.
minute.
And some people don't like dealing with parting with their assets.
Yeah.
Their stuff. Stuff's a good legal word. The third one, I understand those two. The third one I really don't understand is some people don't like dealing with attorneys. But anyway, I think everybody needs the thing I would tell somebody, if you don't get around to it, or you keep putting it off, guess what? If you never do it, the state of Florida is going to do it for you, because
yeah.
there's a statutory documents in place.
Yeah.
So every caregiver who so is very worried about caring for others should be somewhat worried about caring for their own family and their own estate plan.
Yes.
There's no reason to put this off.
And once you do it, you have peace of mind.
Yeah. And people say, well, it comes off, gee, and that was so easy. I'm so glad I did that. I wonder why I put this off for so long.
Right.
We turn around estate plans in a week or less. I mean, so it's very,
very
easy.
Doesn't have to be stressful.
To be a better caregiver, you should have an employment contract, understand exactly what you're supposed to do, and you can volunteer help to families to make sure that their affairs are in order for everybody to be able to do a proper job for the person in need of care.
Yep.
Which includes power attorneys, healthcare, surrogates, and things of that nature.
And you're going to rerun the show on your show, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So this show will rerun next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I have my own show on multiple stations around Florida. But Lola and I decided just to be on each other's show, basically. So she's going to be on my show next week.
And what's your website?
Website is attypip.com. Those are P like Paul, IP like Paul.com.
Toll-free number?
Toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. Always do that too fast. 1-800-226-3529. Lola, I'd like to give Linda. Lola, I'm talking to Lola and mine. So Lola's the manager of the station here and probably owner too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I was talking to her earlier. So I'd like to give one of your caregivers a free power of attorney. So I don't know how you want to orchestrate that in your contest or...
What we'll do, just go through the website, lindaburhans.com, and we'll put all the names in a hat, whoever emails in, and
sure.
We'll pick one.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Perfect. Thanks, Joe. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Thanks so much, caregivers. You know how much I appreciate your time. I know it's not easy to just take time for yourself to listen to the show, but thankfully we're on a bunch of different venues so you can listen wherever you want. In fact, recently somebody just told me they spent a day binge-watching the show on YouTube. So she said, I learned a lot of stuff, Linda. So tune in next week for some wonderful guests. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name. Now, soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.